Well, this morning it's a new year. Are you glad? Huh? Are you tired of the old year? Yeah, you know, got to get on with things. And so, you know, when we look at how many made their New Year's resolutions? Huh? Not yet. What are you waiting on? You got to make the New Year's resolution early. Because if you make it early, normally you have more than a half an hour before you break it anyhow. Okay? Common New Year's resolutions are, I'm going to lose weight. I'm taking off my shoes. Right? Or, I'm going to quit this. I'm going to read my Bible for 30 minutes every day. Starting next year. You know, New Year's resolutions are constantly being made. And when you talk to people, what I find is the New Year's resolutions, whoa, I think you need to turn me down just a little bit. Okay? New Year's resolutions are made to be broken. So I thought about that and I said, okay, what if we try something new? What if we try making a resolution that we're not going to break? Okay? So I came up with my perfect resolution this year. And I guarantee I won't break it. Okay? Guaranteed. I am going to be meaner than I was last year. Hey, let's be realistic. Now that's something I can probably do. Right? Right? That's something that I can do. Or, I'm going to eat everything I want. I don't care how much I weigh. Or, I'm going to skip church if I want to go golfing, or if I want to go hunting, or if I want to lay out in the sun. See, we always make New Year's resolutions. The same old New Year's resolutions are always for something good. And we never keep them. So let's try something new. Let's not do that and make a resolution to do something that we know we'll keep. Same old, same old. Anybody here like the same old, same old? My wife raised her hand. She's being honest. Some of us don't like change. Some of us are okay with, you know. I mean, I know people that they eat the same thing every day. My dad, when he worked, he packed his lunch. Okay, he packed his own lunch because my mother worked shift work. So half time she wasn't there. And he'd get up in the morning and he'd make a sandwich. Wow. All right, that's better. You had it too close, I guess. My dad would make a sandwich, two slices of bread. He'd get the Velveeta cheese out, put Velveeta cheese on it, and wrap it up and put it in his lunch. Nothing else. No meat. You know why? Because it wasn't refrigerated, so meat could spoil by the time he ate it. So no meat. And no mayonnaise or ketchup or mustard, just Velveeta cheese on white bread. No butter even, because he didn't eat that much butter because he had heart problems, you know. And then he'd put in a couple of banana peppers and typically maybe a banana. And in his thermos, he'd have milk. And every day that I knew him, that he worked at where he worked until he died, that was his lunch. And it didn't vary maybe a half a dozen times a year. And the only reason it would vary is if we were out of something. Okay? Same lunch every day that he worked. My dad also, after he got his heart condition, went to bed at 10 o'clock every night. That's a good thing. I figured that one out. Okay, I no longer can stay up till 2 o'clock in the morning and feel good at 6 in the morning. I used to do that, but I can't do that anymore. But he'd go to bed at 10 o'clock at night. And it didn't matter. If we had company during the work week, and they were still there at 10 o'clock, he'd get up and say, well, folks, you guys can keep talking, I'm going to bed. I understand that. Same old routine. But most of us like change. But the problem is, we only like change that we want to make. Change that somebody else makes, maybe that's not exactly what I want. So, are we tired of the same old resolutions? Are you ready for something new? Well, let's look what Scripture says about the new year and resolutions. You didn't know it was in there? You'll find out. If you turn with me to Philippians, I think he probably has it. Philippians chapter 3, verse 13 and 14. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. So let's look at the New Year plan, because this is God's New Year plan for us. Okay? New Year plan. The New Year is going to be great. Everybody here is going to get 50% more money in your check. That's a good idea. Oh, sorry, I can't make that happen. I'm just thinking some good resolutions here, you know, and I don't have too many of them for us. But I do have one. Let's look at what the Scripture says about, you know, when we come to a new year, remember, how many of you, if you don't remember, that's okay because it was 17 years ago. How many remember all the panic set around 2000? Huh? The world as we knew it was going to end. Everything was going to, you know. We shut the lights off at midnight, and so everybody would think the power was had gone off. But right at midnight, poof, hit the main switch. Everything goes off. You know? The end of the world was going to happen in year 2000. Was that God's plan? No. And we found that, there was a few little glitches here and there, but nothing to the magnitude that everybody was telling us. But what's this new year going to be? Is it going to be one of promise? Is everybody going to get 50% more in their paycheck because we got a new president? No, that's not going to happen. You know? Are we all of a sudden, we'll not have any sickness in our whole church family? That would be nice. But it's probably not going to happen. So what does the new year hold for us as we press forward to the goal? I want you to see in these two verses, there's two things that we have to realize that we have to do. Because he starts out and he says, one, forget. Brothers and sisters, for one thing, forget what is behind. Now, I want to add something to that. Is we got to not only forget, we have to forgive. Okay? Let's look back at the past year. Each one of us, look personally at the past year. Is there anyone in your life that has done something to you that you didn't appreciate? Yes. You have to forgive that. Okay? And you have to forget it. You have to forget what's behind. Have you failed at anything this past year? Is there anything in your life that you failed at? Huh? No? Nobody failed at anything this year. Good. You will this year then. Huh? If we look back and look at things, you know, and when I say did you fail in anything, it doesn't mean you fell off the ladder. I fell off the ladder. I fell off the ladder. But think about it. If we failed in something, who do we have to forgive? Ourselves. Is that easy to do? Is it easy to forgive ourselves? More sense, what about forgetting it? And putting it in the past. Is it easy to forget it? No, we can't forget. We can't forgive. I got a good one. Is there anybody you hold a grudge against from this year? Oh. Well, yeah, but it's okay for me to hold a grudge. You don't understand. Right? You know, Paul says, forget about it and forgive. So we have a multitude of things that as we look back at this past year that we must forget and forgive. Christ tells us so many times in the Word of God, forgiving one another, forgiving others, forgetting what lies behind. And so if we look at this year, if we fail to forgive and forget, what happens? We will have the same old, same old. It'll be just like last year. You know, because we can't do the second portion without doing the first. So what do we have to do? Well, one of the things in forgetting and forgiving is that we have to commit ourselves to restoring. Commit ourselves to restoring. What's that mean? Restoring. We have to restore relationships. If it's ourself that we are having a trouble forget, we have to restore that relationship between us and God. Because I guarantee if you did something wrong this year, it's not in God's memory banks right now. He's already forgotten and forgiven it. If we did something against God, he's forgotten and forgiven it. But we hold on to that. So we have to restore that relationship with God so that we can restore ourselves. Because we'll never feel good about ourselves if we continue in that past and we think about those things that we failed at. If we think about where we fell short with God, we won't be able to forget and we won't be able to restore. The scripture says, if it is possible, I like that. If it is possible, and then what's it saying? As far as it depends on you. As far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. If it is possible, as far as it depends upon you. Is it possible to live at peace with everyone? Yes, if it depends upon you. Okay? I can't help what other people do. But can I live at peace with them even though they may do some things? According to the scripture, Paul, you know, tells us there, if it's possible, and it depends on you, live. Yeah, we have to understand is we have to live at peace with other people. We talked in Sunday school this morning, and you know, Dave when he preaches always has a story of something happened in the morning. Well, I'm going to tell you. Last night, my original game plan. When I said that I would preach this morning, I said, I'm going to bed at 10 or 10:30 like I normally do anyhow because the new year doesn't make any difference to me. Well, my family was all there, okay? And my one daughter said, well, you know, if you're sleeping at midnight, we're going to come down and we're going to spray whipped cream all over your face and all the kids are going to yell. So considering that alternative, I stayed awake, all right? I stayed awake, and you can ask the kids, at 12:01, I said, all right, I stayed up till midnight, I'm going to bed, time to tone down the noise. We do things at times that affect our lives, and we look at where where we are. And there are things that are good and bad in our life. And what we have to do is learn to take those bad experiences and get rid of them and dwell more on the good experiences. So we have to commit ourselves to restoring relationships with others, relationships with ourselves, and relationships with God. That's how we forget and forgive. That's the first part of it. And then what Paul says here, he says in verse 14, if you call that up, please, so everybody can see that I'm not lying. Boing, 14. There you go. I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. I press forward for the goal. So what's that mean to us for the new year? What it means. I was half asleep this morning, and my funny story, I didn't finish my funny story. See, my train of thought got interrupted by what I was saying. My funny story that happened to me this morning, like Dave, I had my book, I had my iPad, I had my teaching book, I had my papers I needed, okay? I had my phone, because I always take my cell phone with me if I'm by myself, just in case. You know, if I die of a heart attack, I want to be able to let my wife know I'm not coming home for lunch. And I had my keys, okay? Now, me like a dummy, okay? I don't know if any of the rest of you are dummies, but me like a dummy. I didn't put my cell phone in my pocket. I had it laying on my iPad with my book and that. I didn't put my keys in my pocket. I had them laying, but I had them all in one hand, okay? Anybody ever do that? Have everything in one hand? Why? So you have a hand free, right? Well, you know, like a dummy, I got a cup of coffee in the other hand. Okay? Now, I have the to-go cups that have lids on them. And I had the lid on it. But I had made a cup of coffee because I got up and got ready and everything. And I wanted to get over here and get the church opened up and make sure there wasn't no ice on the sidewalk and stuff like that. So what I do is I got my cup of coffee and got all my other stuff. I opened the door. I set my coffee down. I went and I opened the door, turned the lock so it would lock behind me. Got my coffee, went out the screen door, turned around. Guess what? I have to shut the door. So you know what I did? I set my cup of coffee on top of my other stuff. Okay? It worked really, really well until I turned to shut the door. And fortunately, I have a brown thing on because otherwise you'd see the coffee stains. I told my wife she'll have to wash my sweater because it's got some coffee stains on it. My green jacket, I don't know how bad it's stained. But I spilled my coffee. Because I had the lid, as it spilled, I let go of the door and caught the cup as it was falling. So I didn't spill all my coffee. I set the cup down on the ground. Shut the door, reached down, picked it up, went like this and kind of brushed the wet stuff off as much as I could and went on about. And I got to the car door and guess what? I have my cup of coffee and I have all my stuff yet. So I did set my cup of coffee up on the roof. Unfortunately, I didn't spill it a second time. But I got here and we got, and Georgia come in and she, for Sunday school, she always makes us a pot of coffee, and she made coffee. And I got a cup of coffee, and I told Chuck, I said, okay, Georgia's got some cookies here for us to eat, and I got the coffee. I'm going to take the coffee back to the table and come back and get some cookies. I said, because then I'm less apt to spill something. That's how my morning started. Now, I'm thinking, okay, God, you're saying try something new for the new year. I tried something new. I spilled coffee on me. You know, things happen, don't they? Now, I could have come to church and I could have been upset that I spilled coffee on myself, right? I looked at my sweater and I said, well, at least it blends in pretty good. I don't think I have to change my sweater. I'm going to get on with it. I didn't get upset. I didn't get mad. I didn't, you know. The only upset was I probably lost about a fourth of my cup of coffee, you know. And because I stayed up to midnight, I really was cherishing that first cup of coffee this morning. So when the coffee was done here, I was cherishing that cup too. But see, isn't that what life is all about at times? Don't things go wrong? Do we plan them to go wrong? Anybody here ever plan for something to go wrong? Okay. We got here this morning. You know, like I said, I don't know what God's, you know, God's speaking here in a tremendous way, and he's gonna tell us something. We got here this morning, and I knew Dave had sent me a message that he wouldn't be here. Okay, we're having communion this morning. So the first one that shows up this morning for Sunday school besides Georgia and I and Chuck is Karen. She comes in. And she said, oh, I didn't know Georgia was going to have communion ready, or I wouldn't have been here this early. I said, oh. I said, Jason didn't come with you? No, he's home sick. One elder gone. Okay. Now Dave's gone. Jason's gone. Okay. Somebody said, is Lon going to be here? I said, I don't know. He may be sick, you know. He's not here. I come up, okay? Come up after Sunday school. I look for Janine. I said, does anybody know if Janine's going to be here this morning? Because I know, see, Austin ran the sound last week, got everything set up, but I knew he's working today, so he wasn't here. I knew Dave wasn't here, okay? So I saw Jeannie sitting up here. And I come up and I said, do you know, we were talking, and she said, you want me to call her? Did you call her? Did you text her? No. She showed up on her own. Good. And Jeannie says, but I got a favor to ask you. I said, what's that? She said, you need to sing the first song with us. Okay, now, think about this. My mind's already going 100 miles a minute because I have no elders yet. I have no sound system person yet. And I know certain ones aren't going to be here. And I said, why is that? She said, Rick's sick. Scratch another elder. Okay? Rick's sick. And she said, and the song we're doing is You Are Holy, and there's a men's part and a women's part. So at least I classified as a man today. Right? You know? In today's society, I wonder, because sometimes I feel like a woman. That's how people act today, right? Right? If I feel like a woman, I'm a woman. If I feel like a man, I'm a man. Doesn't matter. So, everything was going wrong this morning, starting off with my first cup of coffee. I'm going to double check when I get home, because I always put my pills in the box in the morning. I'm going to double check that I put the right ones in the right spots, because that would really mess me up. But the whole point is, okay, we can choose to dwell on all that garbage, or we can press forward. We can press forward. And so this morning when Joe came in, I said, Joe, are you willing to help with communion? I figure if he's good enough to preach for us, he can help with communion, right? He said, yes, I'll do anything. You want me to take care of the offering too, since Janine's got to get the sound going. I said, sounds good to me. Brother Laird came in. I said, Brother Laird, are you up to helping us with communion this morning? And he said, yes, I'll help you. I even offered to let him lead it, and I'd do the walking. But, you know, we can live in that past and all those failures and all those things that don't go right and all those things that we look at and say, man, you know, this is just awful. Or we can press on, which is what God's word says, press forward. And what do we got to do to press forward? We got to make a new resolution. I resolved that I like that. How many saw the message on the board this morning? Huh? How many remember what the message on the board said? Huh? A new resolution. Who put the message out this week? Oh, maybe Dave. Okay. I saw that on the board. And it said make a new resolution for 2017 to grow more like Christ. And I said, wow, what a resolution. That happens to be what my message is all about. And I just told Dave the title so he could put it in the PowerPoint. A new resolution to grow more like Christ. One of the things is don't sweat the small stuff. Okay, we can't change all that, can we? I could have changed this morning not dropping my coffee if I wouldn't have had one, right? If I wouldn't have been dumb and had everything in my... Don't sweat the small stuff, because there's things that happen because it happens. Okay? Doesn't mean God doesn't love you. Doesn't mean God's mad at you. It doesn't mean that God isn't going to bless you today. It happened. It's life. If you're living a life, I guarantee something this week is going to go wrong. Okay? Something is going to go wrong. My mother was supposed to go get her blood work on Friday. Her furnace went out. We had that little bit of snow. I went to walk up on her driveway to salt it, and I took 3 steps up and 4 steps back. I wasn't stepping, I was sliding. So, you know how I've fallen in the past on her driveway? I'm not totally dumb. I do remember certain things. I took and I walked up the grass beside the driveway, all the way to the top. I had my shovel, I had my bucket of salt. And I got up on the level, and I would then shovel, because the one part's real steep. Joe can tell you, the one part's real steep, and then it kind of gets not so steep. I get up in the not so steep, and I take my shovel, and I shovel about 6 feet, the tire tracks, sprinkle some salt. I'd stand there and push the snow off the other side and sprinkle some salt. I'd stand there then, and as far as I could reach. And so I worked my way down the dry standing on the salt, because it wasn't slippery. See, I didn't fall. But what we do is we get so wrapped up in the small stuff of life, and we don't forget all those things that happen, whether it be caused by somebody else, whether it be caused by ourselves, that we fail to realize that we're stopping ourselves from moving forward. And God wants us to move forward. 2017 should be a great year for us. Why? Because God said it will. What did he say? That as long as you are living a life for me, I will be there, I will bless you, I will keep you safe in the sheltered in my arms. Is that a promise that he's going to break? Has he ever broken that promise to you? I mean, when we fall down and get hurt, is it because God took his arms off us? No, it's because we live. We're human, right? We're human. We live in bodies that aren't perfect. You know? Anybody here have a perfect body? Huh? I'm not talking about a 10 on a scale of 10. I'm talking, is our body perfect? My wife cuts my hair. Every time she cuts it, she says, man, is your hair getting thin? Well, one day I probably won't have any. Okay? Does it make me worse? You know, only in my eyes, right? I see some bald people that look pretty good with no hair. I always remember Mr. Clean? Huh? I mean, he started the no hair trend before there was no hair. I mean, he started that trend. Mr. Clean, you know, you could shine that head. Right? We have some places that sag as we get older. And you know what? I was moving some furniture yesterday, and guess what? I am still not as strong as I used to be. I haven't told my wife yet I broke her lighthouse. I'll tell her in church, maybe she'll forgive me. I just, with everything yesterday, I forgot about telling her. But I had all the stuff that we put in our yard on the trailer, and we had to move some furniture yesterday. And so I took all the stuff off the trailer. I don't carry things so well anymore. My balance sometimes, you guys know, you've seen me, sometimes my balance just goes like that. And I picked the lighthouse up, and I started to take a step, and I was on gravel. And all of a sudden, I don't know what happened, but me and the lighthouse went that way. Well, fortunately, I caught myself, but I didn't catch the lighthouse. So I got to put a new solar thing on top of it so it lights the light. But that's okay. I have all kinds of time to repair things now. But those kind of things, you know, we can let all those little things in life hold us in the past. And God says, try something new. Grow in my grace this year. Grow in my grace this year. You want to try something new? Try growing in God's grace. Try to be more like Him. Try to be more loving. Try to be more forgiving. Try to be more understanding. We talked about it in Sunday school this morning. You know, judging others. Well, you know, I can judge other people because what they do is far worse than what I do. What's God say about that? He says, no, it's not our job to judge. See, there's only one time in the Bible that God tells us that we have the right to judge. He does tell us we have the right to judge. Do you understand that? And it's found in Matthew, and it says, if there is somebody preaching false doctrine, you can judge them by the gifts of the fruit. What are their fruits? So if you see someone that's out there preaching and they're preaching doctrine that is not true and you don't see the fruit of the Spirit within their life, God says you can judge that. Don't listen to them. But as far as sin goes, we can't judge each other for sin. You know why? We're all sinners. And see, I have been reading the Bible for 40 years, trying to find the passage that tells me my sin isn't as bad as yours. I'm sure it's in there somewhere. I just haven't found it yet. But see, that is how we want to live our life, is my sin's not as bad as that sin. God says we have to forgive others, we have to love others, we have to move on. And the number one thing for this year is to press forward, is to grow in Christ. If you want to press forward to the high calling, grow in Christ. Grow in Christ. That means we have to focus on the things of God more and more and more. Yes, could this be the year God returns? Yes. Could He return today? Yes. Can He return in 2020? Yes. He can return whenever He deems it's time. We know all the scripture for His coming has been filled. We know that time is near. But that one song said, if He returns today, or if it's when I take me home, I'm going to dwell in the love of Christ until then. And if we dwell in the love of Christ, we will grow to be more like Christ, and our new year will be extremely blessed because we're trying something different. We're actually trying to live the way the Scripture tells us to live. We're actually trying to act the way the Scripture tells us to act. And are we going to fall short? Yes. Okay? You guys have all heard me say that there's times I get angry. And when I get angry, my voice raises 10 decibels, and it's already too loud. Okay. Do I try to stop it? Yes. Do I wish I didn't? Yes. But what happens is, if that happens, did I fail God? Yes. But God's saying, forget what's in the past and move forward. We can't let all the little stuff stop us. And we can't let our aspect of what we believe interfere with it stopping anybody else. We all have doctrinal beliefs. And if I will go around this room, we all probably have something different that we understand. You know why? You know why that is? Take a room full of Christians and we'll not agree on everything. You know why that is? We all walk in the light that God has given us. Some people get light in this direction. Some, you know, I don't believe in drinking. I was convicted of it by God. But does that mean that I have to judge somebody that does? I better not. Because if they weren't convicted of it, see, I mean, there are certain sins that God has identified in his scripture, right? There are certain sins that he says, these are sins. But there's other things that are sins of omission that he says to him who does what he knows is right to do and does not do it, to him that is sin. So guess what? If I'm driving down the road and I see somebody stuck on the side of the road and God puts a little voice in my head says you should stop and I drive back, did I sin? If I drive on past, did I sin? Yeah, because see, God told me. See, we have to understand those types of things. We have to understand is that God puts in each of us as individuals activities, thoughts, and events that he wants to use us to help others find him. And so we have to be aware of those things. And guess what? We're not all going to be exactly. I could drive down the road and God doesn't say anything to me and I pass it. And Joe could be down there three cars behind me and drive and God tells him to stop. Well, why didn't he tell me to stop? Because he needed Joe to stop. Not me. That's what we have to understand. If we're going to grow in Christ, we have to do what Christ has for each one of us. Whatever that is. And it's all different. So as we celebrate a new year, 2017, when you write your first check, scratch it out and put 7. Because invariably, you'll write something and you'll put 2016. And just scratch it out and put 7. Everybody understands. We all do it. But let's make this a year of promise. God promises that he's faithful to us. Let us make that promise that we'll be faithful to him. We're going to have communion this morning. And I would ask as we think about communion and as we think about what communion is all about, let's focus on forgetting, forgiving, pressing forward, growing. Is there something you need to forget? Give it to God. Is there someone you need to forgive? Give it to God. Do you want to grow to be more like God? Ask him, because he will do it. So if I could have Brother Joe and Brother Laird come forward and Jeannie at the piano. Communion is special time when we can actually stop and look at God and have him look at us and say, hey, I love you. And as we look at God this morning, let's say, God, my New Year's resolution is to be more like you this year. I don't know what that entails for each one of you. A lot of you are a whole lot like him already, right? But there may be something else that God has for you. I'm a firm believer that as we get older, there are certain things that we cannot no longer do for God. and he gets younger people to do that. But God still, if we're breathing, if we're living, alive on this earth, God has something for you yet. Because when God is through with us on this earth, he calls us home. And we know that we have fulfilled the earthly journey when we are called to be with him. So let us this morning make a resolution in our hearts that we are going to grow in 2017 more than we ever grew before. We're going to grow in the love of Christ. Hey, that's a challenge. Because, see, there are times when we grow tremendously, but let's make 2017 a year promise that we are going to grow as a body of believers more than we ever grew before. And you know what will happen? This church family and all those around us will be influenced by that. If we grow in Christ, it'll be influenced. When Jesus had his disciples and he took the bread and he broke it, he said, "This is my body, it's broken for you." And he was talking about hanging on that cross and his body suffering the pain and all that anguish. And he said, when you take this, just remember, I gave my body up to pain and suffering on a cross for you.